This is Pastor Jim for the congregation of First United Methodist Church here in Rock Springs. As Christmas 2021 approaches, it has been another difficult year for many, and some seeing little hope for the year to come. The significance of Christmas often gets lost in hopelessness, stress, and worry. Yet, it is the very person that Christmas represents, Jesus, our Christ, who provides answers to the distractions swirling around us. It is the Christ of Christmas who fills our lives with His hope, joy, peace, and love, even in the midst of our struggles and doubts. We are a traditional Christ-centered, Bible-based faith community, worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan heritage. You're invited to join us in worship Sundays at 10:30 a.m. at 1515 Egger Street, just above the high school. From everyone here at Rock Springs First Methodist, we wish you a very Merry Christ-filled Christmas.
The following worship service was broadcast and recorded live on Sunday, December 5th, 2021, with Reverend Jimmy Krishan at Rock Springs First Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming, a traditional, Christ-centered, Bible-based faith community worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan heritage.
Good morning. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, may your truth touch our hearts and minds. Let your word light our path and guide our footsteps. Unite us in Christ, that we may be an example of His love. Help us to spread the hope, peace, and joy that we find in Jesus to those around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let us pray. Our gracious and loving God, here we are on the second Sunday in Advent. Already. Advent meaning coming. For us, we wait on your coming. But Father, we're not called to wait idly by, but we're called to be prepared for your coming. But we're also called to prepare the way for your coming. In light of that, we seek forgiveness for our sins. We seek your grace and mercy as we share your grace and mercy through love into the world around us. Father, as you forgive us, may we forgive others. And as we forgive, as we will say later in our prayer, so may we be forgiven. Father, as we come today, we bring our hearts before you. There are so many things to pray for. People, things, events, nations. Father, it would be so easy to become overwhelmed by all that we see and all that we experience. But you are our God. You are on the very throne of heaven. Before you, the cedars of Lebanon shake. Nations rise and fall. For you are our God, and you are an awesome God. You love us, and we don't understand why. You love us, and we don't understand how you could. You fulfill your words, you fulfill your promises, despite our rebellion, despite our shortcomings. And Father, I know that you look down upon us, and some of us think we have a spot that we can judge others from, but that would certainly be wrong. Sometimes, Father, we take on your job, your role, and your position. May we stay humble, Father, realizing that not only do we have our own faults, but others do too, and that we are loved by you and we're called to love one another as we have been loved. And Father, that is humanly impossible. So Father, we pray today that you renew in us your Spirit, your Holy Spirit, empowering us that we may join with the Apostle Paul in his letter to the Philippians, that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So, Father, as we pray for so many things, it's so easy to lose sight and to lose hope. But let us put our hope in you. Father, forgive us if we haven't done that. Forgive us if we've judged our neighbor. And, Father, help us to forgive those who have judged us. Father, help us to remember those who are near and dear to us in our prayers, to lift them up in our thoughts. But Father, help us to put some feet on the ground. Help us to be more of a part, to make the phone call or the visits if we could, to share your hope and good news, a smile and a presence. Father, we pray for our community and our church as things have changed and things are going around and we're looking at where are we, how do we move forward, what direction do we follow. Father, let us know your will and plan. Father, we do pray for the leaders in our communities. We pray for our kids and those who interact with them. Father, we pray for the leaders in our community, elected leaders. We pray for those who are serving in whatever capacity, for our doctors and nurses and all of our emergency personnel. Father, we lift them up. Father, we pray for the leaders in our state and in our nation, that they be led by you, seeking first your will and your way, to love and to care, to lay down selfish agendas, but look to the good of all people, to touch their lives and to make lives better. Father, we pray around the world that leaders would do the same and that we would learn war no more. The captives, the oppressed, would know your grace and mercy and their captors as well. And that through love, the bonds of hatred and anger and jealousy would be broken. Father, we pray for those who are in nursing homes, hospitals, shut-ins in their own homes. Father, we lift them before you today, those who care for them, who minister to them. Father, we pray for them as well, that you would give them strength to give and to serve. For no greater gift has anyone done than to lay down their life for another. And Father, we just pray that you would hear our hearts and hear our prayers lifted to you in the name of Jesus, our Christ, Savior, and Redeemer. Amen.
A reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip, ruler of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord. Make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God, the Word of God for the people of God.
When we look at this text, I need to get some stuff going on for you just to kind of give you a little bit of background. Luke is writing this to a Gentile. His name is Most Excellent Theophilus. Luke writes two books, the Gospel of Luke and the Book of Acts. Luke isn't a disciple. Luke isn't an apostle. Luke is a disciple of Paul. He's a traveling companion of Paul. He's a physician. He is a Greek. He is a Roman citizen. He's well-to-do. He has taken time, and in the beginning of the gospel he says, I've taken time to investigate this thing, to look at everything, to write this to you, Most Excellent Theophilus, that you might know that Jesus is the Messiah. So he tells us right up front, this is why I'm writing it. So when you look at this text, it is very carefully done. And Luke wants us to know exactly when these things happen. And not only can we look at the Gospel of Luke, but we can open the history books of the Roman Empire and we can find these people in power. We can read the Antiquities of the Jews written by Josephus, and we can find these people in the Hebrew community leading their worship, leading their people during this time. These are all historically recorded things. Now, we've got John the Baptist here. John is Zechariah's son. Him and his wife had this baby who, in her old age, wasn't supposed to get pregnant, but did. She laughed, so she had to go hide away. And he said something he shouldn't have said, so he couldn't speak until the baby was born, and that's when he named him. But we need to look, this Isaiah guy. Isaiah is a seer. The Bible calls them Nabi, N-A-B-I, to see. You see, in Isaiah 6, we get the call narrative of Isaiah, and Isaiah sees God, and he sees God in his temple. And he said, and I saw God high, exalted, lifted up, and the robe of his temple, his robe filled the temple, and the door shook, and the seraph flew with two hands, it flew with two, it covered its face, and with two, it got up to it. So you see, I see, I see, I see. He's a Nabi, but he's a prophet, a seer. He is one of the greatest major prophets in the Old Testament. But then you have Daniel, who was also a Nabi. For Daniel says, and I saw these visions. I saw these visions in my head while I was laying on my bed. And you see, he's a Nabi. But then you run into this other prophets who are not Nabis. They didn't see. They are there to proclaim, thus says the Lord. They are to be proclaimers of the Word of God. Prophets. One of the greatest prophets of the whole Hebrew nation was Moses. How many of you heard about old Moses? Moses was quite a character, wasn't he? He was a good guy, bad guy, murderer, you know, all these things. But it begins with Abraham. It begins with Abraham back in Genesis 12 when God promises to Abraham to make of him a mighty nation. We'll be back to that in a minute. But Moses was this prophet of old that was just outstanding. I mean, he killed this Egyptian. How many of you feel like sometimes you don't have it together? Moses is in your boat too, for he was found in a river. So Moses was literally a basket case. So Moses is this great leader, and he murders this guy and defending his people, and he winds up in the wilderness. And he's in the wilderness, and he sees a bush burning, and he goes to check it out because this ain't supposed to be. It's burning, but it isn't burning up. So he goes to see, and God says, whoa, buddy, stop right there. This is holy ground. Get your shoes off, then come over here and look at the bush. So Moses gets his call in the wilderness, and John who is in the wilderness receives the word of God. The greatest prophet in the Old Testament, considered by the nation of Israel, is Moses. The second greatest in the Old Testament is Isaiah. It is Moses called in the wilderness who would deliver his people out of Egypt. He would go to prepare God's plagues and deliver the people out of that slavery and bondage. John would receive the word of God according to the prophecy or the promise that Isaiah says, and a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. And what that meant, just kind of get a visual, in the Old Testament day of Isaiah, when the prophets and the kings and the religious leaders would go out, they would send a crew in front of them. How many of you have ever read the Old Testament and found out about the Ark of the Covenant? What do you do with your free time? Watch TV? Turn that puppy off and get in your book. You need to know that when you were carrying the Ark of the Covenant, there was 6 to 8 people at least carrying it, and it was on poles, and the poles had rings, and they actually had to heft this puppy up onto their shoulder. It hung by its top, and it was heavy, made of acacia wood. You need to go check this thing out. Got an angel on the roof. It's got a seat up there and everything. I mean, this thing is made up, and it's packed full of stuff. It's even got dead bones in it. Yeah, it's got dead bones in it. You didn't know that, did you? But I bet you didn't know that if you touched that puppy, you died. Now, picture this. You've got poles. You're carrying it, and it's mounted on rings. And guess what those rings do on those poles? They slide. So what are you going to do? You don't want to trip, do you? You turn into a dust pile. It's over with. They would go out, and they would clean the road. They would fill any low places. Take some grades out where they could, because you don't want to carry this thing up a big steep hill and have it slide back on the back carriers. This is what he said, prepare the way of the Lord. Make the crooked path straight, and the valleys lift them up, and the mountains lay down. Prepare the way of the Lord. Got all that in your mind? Got all your history? Got all your Bible study done now? How many of you, this is interactive, by the way. This is going to be interactive. Yeah. Give and take. You have permission to speak. This is yes. This is no. Lick your lips and get ready. How many of you how would you define promise? How would you define promise? Come on. A what? A vow? A commitment? Okay. Pledge? Okay. How many else? A guarantee? I mean, you've heard the phrase promissory note? A promise to a commitment, a contract? Now, let me ask you a question. We got to do a little imagination. Nicholas is my grandson, right? I'm the pawpaw. My daddy's dead. My daddy's daddy's dead. My daddy's 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 dead. And my daddy's 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 dead. They all dead. I'm next. Best I can figure. You know, here we are, and you're after that. But anyway, just encouraging you. So you know, here we are. How many of you have got the same name that started way back when? You've got it carried on down, right? There's Croissants way back there, and all of them wasn't in prison. You know, it's just the way it was. But we've been around a little while. It was felt a little differently. It came from France, and I don't know. It was actually not a good name when it was in France, and we come over here as prisoners, and we had world. You know, that's the way it was. That's the history. It's the way it is. But there was certain things, and let's pretend for a moment that my grandpa 4 times back was promised $1 billion gold doubloons, And it was promised to him and to his heirs. And he told his son, but he never got him. And he told his son, but he never got him. And he told his son, and he never got him. And he told his son, and he never got him. And he told my daddy, and daddy never got him. Daddy told me, but I haven't got him. But I told Nicholas he was going to get him if I didn't. Is that a promise? Abraham, God said, I'm going to make of you a mighty nation, and through you all of the people will be blessed. Abraham didn't see the promised land. Isaac didn't see the promised land. Jacob didn't see the promised land. Generation after generation after generation. And I will bless you and from you. And then Jesse, David's daddy, promises, from you I will raise up a kingdom that will have no end. The prophet Isaiah said there's a Messiah coming. And before he gets here, there'll be one crying in the wilderness. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, here we are. But you know, something did happen, didn't it? You see, that promise was kept. You see, a promise is a covenant. So why generation after generation after generation did they continue to believe the promise? And even today, 2,000 years after the ascension of Christ, or roughly that, we are still proclaiming the promise that he's coming back. Why are we still proclaiming the promise today? Because we can trust the one who made it to deliver his promise in his time. He has the bank account. The balloons aren't a problem for him. To generation to generation. But he doesn't just say it'll be later. He promises us, I am with you now. So we know that John the Baptist came as one crying in the wilderness. We have it. We know that Jesus came, lived, and died, and rose again. We have it. The promise is secure. The promise is valid. The one who has made the promise is able to keep it. That's why we, generation after generation, have shared he is coming again. Because we believe it, and we believe in the one who has promised that to us. Our call is still the same call of John the Baptist to prepare the way of the Lord. We are called to do the same today, to share the promise, to share what has happened that ensures the promise is yet to come, but will come as surely as it did in a place called Bethlehem. As surely as the promise came to a rough and tumble town called Galilee, as surely as Jesus stood at the court of Pilate, as surely as Golgotha's cross was covered in his blood, as surely as he was laid in a borrowed tomb and a stone rolled away over it, as surely as that stone was rolled away and a tomb was empty, and the cry went out, my Christ isn't here, but is risen. As surely as the angel said to the disciples, in the same manner you saw him leave, in like manner he will return. God keeps his promise, and he has given us the gift of the Holy Spirit to move within our hearts, to move within our lives, to instill in us a belief. And a belief that we can share, that we too can join this greatest prophet of all. That's what Jesus called John the Baptist. born of women is no more important person than John. That we too would say, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. Prepare the way of the Lord. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed for just a minute. You're going to have to follow us along as we finish our services. We'll lead you best we can. We're going to go into a time of Holy Communion, a time of breaking bread together. We're going to come to a time when we will kneel at an altar and we'll lift a sacred cup and receive blessed bread, and we will remember the promise, the covenant. Sometimes in our lives we can't keep our promises. We're faulty. We come up short. We promise with good intentions, but situations change. But for God, He said, I'm the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will endure forever. The promise is only as valid as the one who makes it and their ability to follow through. We have faults and failures, shortcomings, ambitions and desires, but sometimes we just can't keep our promise. Let us repent of broken promises. Let us repent of words spoke in anger. Let us repent of judgmentalism, prejudice. Let us repent of complacency. Let us repent of seeking our will first and giving God what's left. Let us repent of wanting to make God in our image, that God would conform to us rather than we to Him. Let us repent that we may renew our faith in His promise, and may we renew our pledge to fulfill the Great Commission to prepare the way for the Lord. Amen. Now may you go in peace, grace, and mercy. May you know that God goes with you everywhere you go, and that God empowers you to live for Him even when it seems impossible. Now may we go to make ready the way of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to a worship service recorded and broadcast live at Rock Springs First Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming. Our pastor is Reverend Jimmy Krishan. Please visit our website at www.rockspringsumc.org or on our Facebook page. Our email address is rockspringsumc@sweetwaterhsa.com. Our mailing address is 1515 Edgar Street, Rock Springs, Wyoming, 82901. Our phone number is 307-362-5334. You are invited to join us Sundays on Zoom, YouTube, or in face-to-face worship as we observe all social distancing and safe practices.